Thank you for tuning in to the TGNA Strategic Plan Magazine. This is a series of four podcasts focusing on TGNA's four thematic areas. They are tax and international financial architecture, tax and investments, tax and natural resource governance, and lastly, tax and equity. In this episode, we will be talking about tax and investments. This is one of the focus areas for TGNA that looks at supporting domestic resource mobilization by developing mechanisms and incentives to counter harmful competition between countries, advocating against race to the bottom trade policies that erode tax bases through transfer, misinvoicing, and mispricing. For more, we are joined by Evelyn Mwendo, the tax and investment lead at TGNA. My name is Fiona Muthoni Narengwa. Evelyn, thank you so much for making time to speak to us and for joining us from Nairobi. We will be dissecting tax and investments, looking at the African continent. And to set pace for this conversation, just start by unpacking for us, what is the current landscape when you look at tax and investments here in Africa? Why is it important for there to be coherent set policies for the two?
Thank you so much for having me. The importance of having coherence between investment policies and tax policies lies in the fact that they're both interconnected. By virtue of the fact that tax frameworks or the tax policies at both national and regional level are normally a consideration for both investment promotion agencies as well as generally governments when it comes to them designing their investment frameworks, especially when they're trying to promote investment in their countries. Essentially, what they use is that they use certain elements of the tax policy to try and attract investment into their country. For instance, generally investors value a stable and predictable policy framework. So therefore they try and make their tax policies stable and predictable. The other thing is tax incentives are also often a key part of the investment incentive framework and in general just the investment promotion measures that especially a lot of African countries use in order to attract foreign direct investment into their countries. So by virtue of that, there's an interconnectedness between the investment as well as tax policy frameworks. Now, the issue is the investment framework has been used to promote a lot of tax abuse, or it's been used in a manner which in general undermines tax justice as well as domestic resource mobilizations. One way that that has been done is through tax incentives. Many African countries are providing harmful tax incentives, which in essence just totally undermine domestic resource mobilization because they aren't backed by any cost-benefit analysis and they are often provided by African governments under the pressure to compete with other African governments in order to attract foreign direct investment, which is the phenomenon that we call harmful tax competition, where you'll find that countries are lowering and lowering their tax rates in an effort to outdo each other in order to attract foreign direct investment, or in short, FDI. Another very important way in which the investment landscape as well as the tax landscape is interconnected is through international investment agreements, or more specifically, bilateral investment treaties. So bilateral investment treaties are essentially supposed to provide protection for the investments that investors make in African countries. And so the challenge that we're finding is that some of these investor protection provisions or some of these measures are limiting the regulatory space or the policymaking space of African countries. So, for instance, non-discriminatory provisions of bilateral investment treaties, like the most favored nation, where you aren't supposed to provide one particular country with better treatment than other countries that you have a relationship with, or the national treatment policy, where you aren't supposed to provide greater treatment or better treatment for the domestic industries in comparison with the investors who are covered by the bilateral instrument. So some of these provisions, as well as the expropriation, where you aren't supposed to nationalize the investment that has been made by investor arbitrarily, you aren't, African countries and just generally other countries are not allowed under bilateral investment treaties to nationalize the investment of investors without due procedure and without proper compensation towards the investors. And you'll find that this sort of provisions are related to tax provisions in the following manner. For instance, if you want to grow a particular domestic sector, economic sector of your economy, such as manufacturing, which is of course what a lot of African countries are doing, and you decide to provide certain tax incentives towards the manufacturing sector, but only the local sector, only the local enterprises and none of the foreign enterprises, that will then be a violation of the national treatment principle, which would lead to a situation whereby the African country will then be sued by an investor, what we call investor state dispute resolution, where African countries are being taken to international arbitration fora such as ICSID, which is such a costly process. Whether or not an African country loses the or wins the case, and this is then limiting the regulatory space for a lot of African countries. You can't introduce tax incentives, you can't withdraw them, because then this would be looked at as perhaps expropriation, or it will be a violation of another principle or provision within a bilateral investment treaty. So it's becoming a rising phenomenon. There was a report that UNCTAD did that was released in 2021 that showed that out of 1,000 investor state dispute resolution cases so far, 400 of them were related to tax measures. So this is something that both the policymakers within the investment space and the tax space need to begin paying more attention to and finding solutions to. I know that was a very long answer.
Yes, yes, it definitely was a thorough one. And another element I want us to look at, if we could just have a deeper insight when it comes to the double tax agreements instruments. They are gaining traction here on the continent. What should be considered? How best should African countries approach them?
So in essence, double taxation agreements are bilateral agreements in most cases. They can be between more than just two people, in which those countries are deciding how they will be dividing taxing rights over any cross-border income across their two borders. So for African countries, one thing is very key. We have to remember that in comparison with developed countries, we are often capital importing countries. We aren't capital exporting countries. And for that reason, it's very important that when we're negotiating these double taxation agreements, we ensure we lock in the right to tax income, which is gained through economic activity within our territories. In essence, I am saying that we have to protect our source taxation rights. So instead of allowing these developed countries to maintain the right to tax or to have taxing rights over the enterprises which are undertaking economic activity within our territories, which is what we call residence taxation principle, where in essence, as much as these enterprises are carrying out activities within the African territory, they will still be taxed where they are headquartered. They won't be taxed here, but rather where they are headquartered. So it's very important that whenever African countries are entering into double taxation agreements, they try to protect their source taxation rights as much as possible. So the other important thing that African countries have to do is come up with a clear criteria for why in the first place they need a double taxation agreement with this other country. Is this a low tax jurisdiction that they're entering into a double taxation agreement to? Do they understand the risks of entering into a double taxation agreement with a low tax jurisdiction? So for instance, what happens is, because multinational enterprises are trying to increase their profit margins as much as possible, and they do have the resources to do so, they are going to try and reduce their tax liabilities by routing their capital, the investment, through low tax jurisdictions. And so before the capital, of course, reaches the final investment destination, which has higher tax rates. It has much higher taxes than the low tax jurisdiction. And so they're able to do so because of the existing double taxation agreements that exist between low tax jurisdictions and this final investment destinations. And so often African countries, as much as we are blessed with resources, especially natural resources, extractives, what often happens is the capital is routed through low tax jurisdictions before it can get to our countries. And what this does is that it erodes our tax base, and it leads to the erosion of a lot of revenue that we would have otherwise been gaining if not for these low tax jurisdictions as well as double taxation agreements. So we know these low tax jurisdictions, we know them, they have often been named and shamed, so to speak. So when African countries are considering getting into this double taxation agreements with such, they need to be very, 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 very careful and sit down and consider what are the costs and benefits of entering into such a double taxation agreement. How will this affect our tax base? How will it affect our ability to raise revenue which is needed for vital public services such as health and education within our countries?
Yeah, I mean, the last question that I would like to ask you is, for Africa to be able to renegotiate as well as reevaluate the policies when it comes to investments, do we know our negotiating power? I think that is also a critical thing that should be mastered for us to be able to stand our ground. How best can we go around this? What are the recommendations from a TJNA?
So firstly, we need to ensure that the entities that are negotiating both these bilateral investment treaties as well as double taxation agreements have the technical capacity. The other thing which is very critical, because in a lot of instances you will find that these agencies have technical capacity, but there's very little interagency cooperation. So for instance, revenue authorities or perhaps the tax policy making departments of the Ministries of Finance and National Treasuries will not be adequately involved towards the negotiation of a bilateral investment treaty, and yet they would be best placed to really talk about what will be the tax implications of a particular bilateral investment treaty. The other thing is when investment agencies and ministries of trade and investment are coming up with national investment policies and they're framing the national investment promotion measures that will be used, they often are rather too generous with the tax incentives that they provide. So it's a question of going back and making sure that we are framing a tax incentive framework that is based on a proper economic analysis. Do we have a pre-ante sort of assessment of these tax incentives? Do we look at the state of play before these incentives are provided? For instance, do we have, I know we do have data on sort of what are the FDI inflows before we provide this particular tax incentive. And then after introducing that tax incentive, what is the FDI inflows? Can an increase in the FDI inflows be associated with the fact that this particular tax incentive has been used? In essence, that will be a process of evaluating how effective a particular tax incentive is. Also, another key thing that African countries need to start doing is tax expenditure reporting. So looking at how much revenue has been foregone by virtue of the introduction of a particular tax incentive. So when we have such economic analyses that are being undertaken, when we're collecting this data and several agencies are working together in order to analyze this data, then our tax incentive frameworks will be based on a lot of economically sound policies. They'll be based on actual data, which is very key, because in a lot of instances, tax incentives are not based on any economic sense. Rather, they are based on political reasoning, as well as the need to maintain international and diplomatic relations with a particular country. And also, it's because of the pressure that a lot of African countries are being placed under in order to enter into certain agreements with investors and other development partners. So those are just some of the things that need to be done by African countries and African governments with regard to that issue.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to download the full strategic plan to learn more about the four thematic areas for TGNA. You can also visit our website, taxjusticeafrica.net, and connect with us on Twitter @TaxJusticeAfrica.